You know, one of the things that I really like about this job, one of the things, is that I can come to work in my underwear. And I want to see how many of
more
you...
More than we need to know. But anyways, go ahead.
I'm not in my underwear
I'm
now.
I'm kidding.
How many of you are in your underwear?
That was funny. I'm in my pajamas.
You're in your pajamas.
I'm not wearing anything.
No, that makes up for the rest.
Underwear. I have pants on over it, though.
The rest is in your underwear.
All right, here we go. And so, you know, we have Gary Grant on the phone, and Gary gave me one of his pieces of music. Let me see if I can figure it out. I think we'll start this morning and play Gary's music. You know, we have some. A lot of times people who are known, well-known, they come into our calls, but they don't let us know who they are and what they do. So hello to all you celebrities on the line. But Gary let us know, and Gary is a studio musician in Los Angeles and a composer, and he has worked with almost every famous person you can think of, from Elvis Presley to Michael Jackson and God knows who else. And so I'm going to play one of Gary's compositions. This is an original composition, and I think it's called, I hope it's Change of Heart, Change My Heart, and then we're going to start. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for sharing that with us.
I was voluntarily doing it, but it was not a forced deal. But
what is that?
Also,
hello?
In terms of the people.
Hang on. You know, I sent out this morning a little, you know, I'm starting to get into putting little quotes in from people at the beginning of our mailings, and I sent this morning a thing by Khalil Gibran, who was somebody that was really, I read him 30 years ago, and he was a Lebanese poet. And he was used to travel around the country and give his readings. And he wrote, his probably his most famous book was The Prophet. And he's very inspiring. And the quote was, doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. And, you know, in spite of all the confirmations that we get to convince our minds that these guys that we're speaking to are real, and constant confirmations, I think that every time I show up on a Sunday, I have to have the faith that they're going to show up. I mean, this is a free will universe, and they don't have to show up. And none of you have to show up. We're all showing up. And over time, so many of you are having the experience on this line of connecting with energies that you didn't know you could connect with. That's not true for all of you. Some of you already made the connections, and many of you didn't. And it is such a miracle that we can do this on a phone line, that we don't have to rent a building. We don't have to go traveling around the world. We can just sit right in our home and make these connections. And that once you make them, it only gets better, because they can carry over into your life. They will carry over, and they will, it's like having a helping team in other realms who are there to call on. And the first thing you need to know is that they're real, that they answer you. And that takes some training. That's not something you can just start. You can start out believing it and work with it, and then keep working with it and see how it works. See if you make an answer, get an answer. And it takes some practice. What is practice? Well, every day, or as many times a week as you want to fit in, sit down and recreate the energy of this call. Recreate it. Just go silent. Say, I'm open to feel these energies. I'm here to be of service. And breathe. If it helps, you can replay one of our calls. You can replay the Sunday meditation that I do, which helps connect the energies. But you don't need to do any of that. You just need to create your own intent and to make the connection. And when you make the connection, when you feel that connection, start putting things in the light. Put your health in the light. Put the people you care about in the light. Put all the things that we put in the light on a planetary level. And practice that. Practice it until you get it down. And that you know that you don't believe it. You know it. You experience yourself as part of divinity, as part of all that is, as a cell in the mind of God, or a soul in the mind of God, as light. One teacher that I had used to say, light is living in God's holy thoughts. Living in God's holy thoughts. And get that down as an experience. This is not about believing. This is about experience. And the stuff that we talk about is meant at its highest level to help your mind get out of the way so that it can have an experience. Everybody has a mind, and their mind is trying to understand things, and their mind is trying to evaluate everything. And, you know, there's this illusion that if you put the right things in your mind, everything would shift. And there's people that go around quoting things that they know about the shift. Well, we're moving into this dimension, we're moving into that dimension, this is happening. And they actually think they're more special than other people, because they know things that other people don't know. When I was younger, I used to feel that way. I used to have all this esoteric metaphysical knowledge, and I used it. Underneath it, there was this nerdy, unworthy guy that didn't fit in. And I used to think that the metaphysical knowledge that I had made me superior to other people. And it was a way of mocking up a kind of worthiness that wasn't real. It wasn't intrinsic. It was an ego trip. And notice yourself and see if you do that, because it gets in the way. All of the knowledge and understanding that you have will not cause you to graduate this realm. That is right out of the raw material. They said, you don't have to understand this to graduate the realm. Sometimes the most simple people that have open hearts will graduate, and the person that knows all the information just may not. So that's a very important thing about getting your mind out of the way. Now, your mind does have a value. It's not that your mind is worthless. Your mind, first of all, is very useful in discriminating things, i.e., looking at things, evaluating the information, and deciding if it's positive or negative, and if you want to go towards something or not. It's valuable that way. It's valuable as a tool because from your mind comes your words. And your words, as they're formed, carry energy. And as you learn to tune in to these higher dimensions and integrate them, then your words can carry the energy of those dimensions to other people. And it doesn't, not the information, sometimes just the way you say hello. Terry, is that you? Terry?
Well, that's not me.
Let me just look here at the console and see. Okay. Okay. They're muted. So, there's an art form to all of this. It's making your life an art form. You know, when people create art, when I write songs, when I did those things, there was this magic where you take a step, you write a line down, and say, what's the first line that comes to my mind? And I put it down on the paper. And I didn't have planned out what I was going to write, what I was going to say. I just wrote a sentence out. And then suddenly my mind would supply another sentence, and I'd write that down. And I'd write another one down. And before you know it, the whole thing hung together, and I looked at it, and I said, how could I write that? That's smarter than me. And that is beyond what I can do with my conscious mind. And I think the same thing happens with painters. They don't, I mean, unless they're doing a portrait and they're making, trying to make a representation of how something looks in the physical, they put their brush to the canvas. And then one thing leads to the next, to the next, to the next. And before you know it, they're probably looking at a painting and they say, wow, look at that. I didn't know it was going to come out like that. And now, when I'm talking to you guys, I see myself, I'm doing the same thing. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I start out with a word, and then a sentence, and then another sentence. And before you know it, I say, how did I come up with that? And I used to get self-conscious. Now I said, okay, I just have to let go and have faith. If I take the first step, if I say the first sentence, the second sentence will come up, and the third sentence will come up. And before you know it, it's all hanging together. And in a sense, life has the same potential. You can't control it. If you're trying to control it, you blow the higher connections. It contracts into your mind, and your mind is saying, I want this to happen, I want it to go this way, and the chances of getting this expanded way of making things happen will probably not occur. So, painting your life, making your life a creation. What is the first step that requires faith, where you don't know what's going to happen, and suddenly something happens, and there's a third step and a fourth step, and before you know it, you have in your life something you thought you could never have. You couldn't have it, and you have it. In my wildest dreams, I couldn't imagine doing what I'm doing now. I couldn't. I mean, and I don't think Terry could either. And how did we get here? We just took one step, and then another step, and another step. And There was a residence as we took steps, and people started paying attention, and they kept coming back, and it kept validating what we were doing. And it's like, where are we going? I don't think we finished here. We're still taking steps, and so are you. And if you're not, why don't you think, what is your next step. You know, sometimes I've told the story about how I was selling things at street fairs, and I was in San Diego, and at the end of one of those events, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, at the time, I thought I was a songwriter. I thought that was the best thing that I knew how to do. And I had a huge amount of support from the universe while I was writing songs. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. If I have to do this for the rest of my life, I would rather die now. So I went to the liquor store, and I bought a notepad, and I just started writing little poems. I think I'll send one or two of those poems out that I wrote at that time. And I started writing poems about street fairs and about anything that would pop into my mind. And I hadn't written for quite some time, and I said to myself, geez, I can still write. And I started sending those poems out on the Internet, and people started posting them. And then one of the magazines that I sent some poems to sent me an email and said, we don't use poems, but would you like to write on assignment? And for those of you that don't know, writing on assignment means they assign you a project. They say, interview this person, write an article about this. And I couldn't understand why they were offering me that, because I had never written before in my life. I only wrote songs and poems. And, you know, what was great about writing songs and poems is that it didn't take very long. I have four things in Gemini. Normally, I don't have a long attention span. I'm getting better. But, you know, when I was younger, you know, it was like I could spend a day writing a song and it was done. I could spend a few hours writing a poem and it was done. And now they've asked me to write on assignment. It turns out they made a mistake. It was one of those synchronistic mistakes where they tried to take it back, and they didn't, but they tried. They said, we don't know why that was offered to you. So I interviewed this guy who was a semi-famous author. I think his name was Dharma Singh Khalsa. And then I started interviewing some famous people. I interviewed Greg Braden at the time when he was first getting to be well known, and Uri Geller. And during that period of time, when I was writing for this magazine, I discovered David Wilcox's website. And I called the editor up and I said, I want to interview this guy. And she looked at his website and said, I think he's a wacko, but go ahead and interview him, but I'm not going to promise to run it. And so I interviewed David, and she read the interview, immediately called me back and said, oh, my God, you're right. He's got to be the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And then she said, and this was the universe speaking through her, I'm sure. She said, I think you're the one that's supposed to write the book about it. Well, I kept studying David. I said, I can't write a book. Okay, I was writing songs and poems, and now I graduated to writing 1,200-word articles, and now she suggested I write a book. And I kept studying David's website and reading his channelings, and I said, if he's talking to who I think he is, who they say they are, this is going to be the most important thing I ever did in my life. And I wrote the book. As you all know, I wrote the book. And the book has been touching people and reaching people. So you weren't on earlier on the line, but Morgan just bought the book and is reading it. And she is really raving about it. And, you know, the important thing about the book is not that David Wilcox is Edgar Casey, but that this voice talking to him, through him, that says they're a group soul made up of graduates of this realm, has been the master oversoul for our planet for the entire history of humankind. And that the implication was that Jesus was a product of this oversoul. It was part of their plan. And I didn't know if that was true or not, but I did know that Edgar Cayce said it was the Christ speaking through him, and it started to make sense. Okay, this group oversoul identified itself, and it was explaining. They didn't. They actually didn't, in the book, they only touched on that particular topic. The only comment they made was, we came to you in Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. But I kept studying it, and I said, I think that might be true. And so I wrote the book against all odds. David didn't want a book. David and I would be fighting. He didn't want a book out there. He was scared of the responsibility. That was my take on it. And he wanted to be presenting himself in a more scientific way, and yet he did have all his channelings posted. So I wrote the book. And a year later, I was at a conference in Monterey. Why was I there? I was there because I was making $150 for every article I would write. And there was a New Age conference where I could interview six or seven people, and I went to Monterey and to interview those people, and when I walked into the room, there was this woman staring at me, and I looked at her and I said, do you know me from somewhere? And she said, you remind me of a writer that I had a crush on. And of course, that was Daphne, and the rest is history. But the most important reason that I'm telling you this story is that it all started, and this is how things start. This is how you change your path. This is how you make something new happen. It all started because I had spent years traveling around doing these street fairs, and at the end of the fair, I said, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I would rather die now. And I started writing poems, and I started sending them out on the internet. Now, I thought maybe I'd get a poetry book out. Maybe I could go out and read poems to people. And maybe it would lead to playing music again. That's what I thought at the time. I couldn't dream of where it would lead. But I had thrown my cosmic horseshoe into the ring, and I started sending poems out, and we're here now, and we're doing this. And that is life is art, because you see, you take a step that's based on faith, a step that's out of your box. You've got to go out of your box. Because if you keep staying in your box, you only get what you always got, because you're in your box. And so as soon as I wrote a poem, as soon as I sent it out to people, the Elohim talk about pedaling a bicycle and then leveraging it to the rear wheel and getting all this extra action going on, and you can move much faster. And they would explain that they're like the leveraging. They're like the leveraging, exactly like a bicycle when you pedal, and you have to do something to engage the leveraging. You have to do something. You have to take an action. That's the pedaling. So I took the small little action. I walked across to the liquor store. I bought the notepad. I started writing poems. I said, well, I really like my poems. I'm going to send you guys a couple of poems after this that I wrote in that period of time. I'm getting to the point where I will put a book of poems out. And I really didn't want to do it for the longest time because I didn't want to I know I have talent as a writer, and I didn't want to defocus the energy off of our higher connections. But so many of you are making the connections, I think you would appreciate it and appreciate my experience that brought me into this position. And, of course, all this time, I knew Terry. In fact, Terry used to come with me to some of those fairs and help me. Never did we imagine where this was going to lead. I've known Terry for years. And so each of you has some step to take, something out of your box that will start a chain reaction, that will make things happen and pull things into your direction that you really want to occur. And you really need it. It's important because we're in this period of shift right now, and that every person that you can reach and touch with your heart is you're increasing their chances that they're going to graduate this realm. And it's not, you make a difference. You make a difference by how many people you smile at every day. You make a difference by how much you can stay out of your own fear and face life courageously. You make a difference every moment by being out of your box and bringing the energy of the higher realms through your body and into this planet. It's, you know, you're here, and it seems, for some of you, it seems overwhelming. But, you know, Jesus said, how did he say it? He said, I am in this realm, but I'm not of it. And that's true for you, except you may not know it. And you may be beset with all the challenges and obstacles of life. And all day, all you're thinking about is all your challenges, your obstacles, the people around you that are suffering. And you've got to stop thinking about those things, at least a very small part of the day. You have to take the time, you don't have to, but recommended to take the time to move into the space of the connection to the higher realms. Move into the space that we move into on these calls. And in that moment, you're out of the space of all your oppression. And when you're out of the space of all your oppression, you can now start fixing that space. You can now start bringing this energy from the higher realms, flow it into those areas of stuckness, and it loosens it up, shifts it, and it starts to release. And you can do that. And I did it. Terry did it. You know, we were talking a couple days ago, and Terry, for a long, long time, was kind of... Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can I talk about you behind your back?
All right.
I'll say something, and then you can pick it up. Okay. You know, Terry was kind of depressed and very withdrawn most of her life. And it was like people didn't know who she was. And I'm amazed. I walk into the living room, and there's this cheery little love bubble just radiating love, working really hard all the time, helping. She's really helping to ground all this work. You know, I don't always, Terry, besides coming on these calls and bringing through messages from the other realms, grounds everything. If it wasn't for her, grounding things, we couldn't do this, because I am too impatient and too four planets in Gemini to do that. I do my best. I know it has to be done. But Terry is awesome because she works so hard to make it all happen. And I don't know, I don't usually acknowledge her and tell people about that, but some of you that email or buying pendants, you know, she was packing all the pendants and sending them for the past year. And so Terry, how did you switch from being depressed to being a love bubble?
I did a lot of work on myself, thousands just of hours just working on myself and on my trek, on my whole trek, taking a look, observing and seeing what wasn't optimum. And it really, really helped. And another thing that's helped an awful lot was working with you and working with all the people. It's really amazing.
How about when you used to go on the road and face all the people in public? Was that a challenge at first?
Yeah, that was a really big challenge because, like, as I looked at my last, like, I was a dancer in London, a ballet dancer, and I was getting quite well known. And one day I fainted on stage and in front of all the public. So it's like I've been really nervous about being in the public. Just letting go and has helped a lot. I don't prepare for the calls, you know, I don't prepare a thing. Just let it connect and let it come. So there's been a lot of faith involved in that I've come to know and develop.
So you've learned the same thing that I've learned, that there is faith, that we show up and things happen. We show up. I remember when the very first time I ever did a live channeling with Terry was at a workshop in I think Santa Barbara or Ventura, and we hadn't prepared to do it. I was talking, and we had a 2-hour or 3-hour, I think it was a 2-hour workshop, and at some point while I was talking, all this energy came into the room, and Terry was there, and she was kind of beaming back. And I looked at her and I said, why don't we see if they'll give a message through you? And she reluctantly got up and stood next to me, and it was really awesome. And, you know, I'm sure if I was sitting in Terry's shoes, that those first times that we were doing this, I would say, do they have something to say? And I was afraid her mind would be blank, and she would say, duh, no. I can't access them. But they've never let us down.
Yeah, it's like they're there. It's like they kind of come in and they kind of anchor me, and it cheers me up. Like oftentimes, like during the channeling, it's like it puts me in a really good space.
I mean, what I noticed is even, you know, when we start approaching some of our calls. And it used to be worse. It's not so bad now. But I used to think, I'm not ready to do this. I don't feel really cheery today. I feel depressed. I feel oppressed. We're having trouble paying the bills. What am I doing this for when we should be making money? And I would show up, and I'd show up. At that point, I would show up because other people were showing up, and I had a responsibility. Because if I didn't have a responsibility, I probably wouldn't have shown up. And, you know, I can see how it works and how you have to push yourself at the beginning to make things happen, to the value of faith, knowing, and I will tell you this, that if you have a high intent and you show up, even for your own little private meditation to get the energies together, if you show up, have a high intent for something to happen, it will happen, okay? If you show up with doubt, like, oh, what am I doing this for? What an idiot. Nothing's going to happen. You will get the product of doubt. And as Gibran said, faith is the brother of doubt. And that you won't move in to the higher experience until you start having faith, and you can prove it to yourself. You just keep showing up, even for your own meditation or for a team shift call, and push through the doubt. And we go through our healing page today, and our call regularly. What seems to be happening here is we're creating a group energy. Totally by intent and faith. And up.
When you're cutting out.
Terry?
You're cutting out.
I'm cutting out. Okay, let me watch this on the screen here. I don't know why I'm cutting out. Is that better if I talk louder?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I'll try to keep my... I'll try to keep my voice up here, and when we have a group energy, we have a lot of power, and a lot of love, the power of the energies all combining, and then putting an intent on those energies makes things happen in the world. Now, you know what? It still has to be in the flow. It has to be within the realm of possibility. For example, when I started out that I was writing, my writing was good, and I could feel the poem, the energy of the poem, and I said, people, I think, would appreciate it. So you have to do something that is within the realm of your skills, your talent,
can hear you in.
Still nothing, Win. Can you hear me, Terry?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Let me go check.
That was my child's cell phone. Okay. Yeah, please check.
Yeah. hear, can't hear a word for quite a long time. Can't hear you.
Only over telephone.
No, can't hear a word. You want my phone? VBS says, come on with music now. Can't hear you.
Can't hear you.
Hey, Terry, you should talk.
Hello. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm on Terry's phone. And
the lines are muted. Lots of noise.
Hang on. No, the lines are not muted. I'll mute them in just a second. Hang on. Okay. Lines are muted. Hello, 1 2 1 2.
Yes, we hear you.
You hear me? And
yes.
Can you hear me now? Let me see here now. Hello.
Still loud and
clear. Testing. Okay. For some reason, Skype is not working. So. I'm just going to do this on Terry's line. So I was going through a few things on the healing list, and we were sending the light to Cecil in Mountain Lake and all the things he was requesting, and to Bridget in Deerfield, Wisconsin, and for Judith in Williamsburg, Iowa. And for Michelle in Bartlett, Tennessee, and her son, Michael. Remember, all of this is for the highest good of all concerned in honoring free will. And Lori in Tombstone, Arizona, for financial help. And Jyoti for her son and for herself. And Teresa in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for health in her body. And Mary in shoulder and hard time lifting her arm. And William in Valdosta, Georgia. And his son-in-law. Now, you know, when you guys are putting other people in the light, please take time on your own to put them in the light, to learn to call in the sacred space and put them in the light in that space. And why are we having all that noise in the background there? Hang on just a moment. Hang on. Okay. Okay, so let's move into our guided visualization that I have gotten so many emails from people about how it's helped them tune into these energies. And all you have to do right now is get very relaxed, take your shoes off, try to be in a room where no one else is present. Be in your own space or outside. You know, I used to go in my car when I couldn't get away from things. Sometimes in your home environment, you have distractions, you have people that are kind of tapped into your energy field, and it's hard to move into a higher zone when all those things are around you. So you might try this. You might try driving your car to a little parky area, a place with trees if you can. But even if not, just go in your car and be in your own little bubble away from everything and practice this tuning in to the higher realms. And so take your shoes off, put your feet flat to the earth, and we see the energy radiating from the center of the earth, through the earth, into the soles of our feet. And if you feel some sensation in your feet, you might consider that you have connected to the earth. And let's tell the earth we love her, and that the earth is moving into a higher dimension. And if we're connecting to the earth, we'll move with her when she moves. In fact, more accurately, she probably already has moved. And tapping into the energy of that movement through the earth automatically hooks us in to the new earth. We move that energy up our legs, up our calves, up through our solar plexus, our chest, our neck, our head. And we have a finger of energy that's now emanating from the earth and moving through our body. And we're now going to pop through our head, through the top of our head, and into the space 1 foot above our head. Now we're going to move up to the ceiling. Just use your imagination, and you're not leaving your body. You're projecting from your body up to the ceiling. And we're going to go through the ceiling into the sky. Sky above our roof. If there's any rooms in between, just go right through them till you get to the roof. And we're going up, we're getting higher, higher through the clouds. We're thousands of feet above the surface of the earth. And we come to the veil. Called the veil. It's this energy around the earth that keeps us contained. It keeps us in our lower vibration. It keeps us from connecting with our higher self. But we're going to move through the veil. Just imagine this ring of energy, and we just flow right through it. And now we're moving up through the solar system, through the galaxies, and we come to the place where we are all connected. We are all part of each other. There's a point in time-space where you started, where there was no individuation. You were part of a great one energy, and you separated. And when you first separated, you knew you were part of something. And then you took a body, and over time, you forgot you were connected to everything else. So we're moving back to that place of connection where we were and are connected to each other. Brothers and sisters. And let's just say, I love you, silently, to all those people on the line and listening on the internet and listening to the replays. It's only because you have chosen to show up that we can do this. We need each other to create the thrust, at least initially, to move through all these levels. Now we're going to invite our sources to join with us. Of course, they already have, but we're going to officially make the invitation. So if you can imagine, if you were imagining this, you would see all of our little soul streams going up and melding, merging, blending with each other. And this is a totally free will association. So you're not glommed, we're not glommed together. We're choosing to come together. And now we're going to see all these entities who are the individual members of these soul groups. We just imagine that this might be happening, joining with us. We invite them to do that. And you may have noticed a little jump in energy when we did that. And we're going to bring the energy down from this huge conglomerate that we are participating in totally by our intention. We're going to bring it down through the planets, through the veil, through the sky, through the top of our head, through our bodies. And as we bring it into our body, we can move it around. You can follow my direction, or you can follow your own direction. Take a moment and direct it somewhere. Direct it somewhere where the energy feels stuck. And let it flow through the stuckness. This is exactly what you can do as an exercise every day. Bring the energy in. And let it flow through the stuckness. Usually, where there's stuck energy patterns in your body, there are past life incidents, this life incidences, traumas where the energy has gotten stuck. And you need to keep working on it to release it. Even if we release it on this call, it's most likely that it's going to come back again. I hope not, but most likely, because you have a huge habit pattern that's creating that, a huge memory track. And so it takes working on this over time to free yourself. Take that energy and put it around your teeth and gums. And just ask to release any infections in there, any bacteria, any gum disease, any cavities. You're having trouble concentrating, focusing? Put that energy into your brain. Get the energy flowing. Any place else in your head that I haven't mentioned, just focus it there. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your neck. Then I'm going to focus it on the heart. The heart is a very important area right now. It's the energy center that is going to allow you to graduate this realm or not. So, what's stuck in your heart? You know, we do this often, the heart area, and as you might have noted, many of you have had releases while we're doing this meditation, and it comes back again. So, why do you think forgiveness is so important in religious tracts? Why is that such an important principle? It's because when you hold anger and resentment towards any other person, it's taking up energy from your heart. It's keeping your heart from being open. So take a moment and see forgiveness for anyone that you're holding energy for, no matter how horrible they've been to you, no matter what. And it doesn't mean you have to like the person. It doesn't mean you have to be their friend. It doesn't mean that they're not a total, I don't want to use a slang word here, a total terrible person. And that you should do everything in your power to stay out of their path for the rest of your life. It's just that right now, get it out of your heart. Forgive them. Forgive their actions. The chances are that you ended up in that situation with that person is because you didn't have good discernment. And that no matter what they did, they gave you a lesson in discernment. And when somebody comes in the future who comes wearing the same attitudes or garments or whatever
as that person that screwed you over, you'll recognize them. And part of the lessons of this realm are discernment. So you can bless the fact that you had that lesson. No matter what, they abandoned you. You were vulnerable. You gave them your total heart, and they left you, and they stole money from you, and they emptied your bank account. And they ruined your reputation. They told lies about you behind your back. Let it go right now. Let it go. Take this energy and surround that attitude you're holding. Put it in the energy and let it lift from your heart. We'll go down to the solar plexus. The stomach. The seat of power. See if you can't tap into your own power. You know, one sound you can make that helps you empower yourself is, and this has to come from your diaphragm. You might try it right now. Not but You ever notice sushi guys do that? You ever notice martial arts people do that? It's intimidating. See if you can do it. Why do you want to activate the third chakra? Aren't we supposed to be getting above the third chakra? Well, we're supposed to be including it and getting above it. You know, if you're going to be effective in the world, then you need to have power, because power allows you to have boundaries. Power allows you to open your heart up, but know how to protect it when you need to. And we go from the solar plexus to the genitals, which is the area of sexuality and creativity. And if you've hurt people, misled them, if you're a guy that has told women you love them so you can go to sleep with them, forgive yourself. We didn't even talk, I forgot to mention forgiving yourself when we were in the heart area, because all of us have done things that have been done to us at one time or another, and if you don't forgive yourself, you end up having shame and guilt. Forgive yourself in those sexual areas. The sex at its best is an expression of the divine in one person to the divine in another person at its best. At its worst, it's an area where people attempt to trap each other to fulfill their needs and turn people into slaves of some sort, or controlled of some sort. So, vision the best. And if you have a connection with somebody in that realm, in that level, make sure you leave them better than you found them, if it's not going to be a long-term commitment. And we go down from our second chakra to our first chakra at the base of the spine. We move through our feet and our legs
and back into the center of the earth. Now take a moment and feel the energy. Feel your body in the middle of this huge energy that goes way up to the celestial realms and way down to the center of the earth. And right now, while you're in this expanded field, while you're connected to the greater universe, silently put things in the light. Put your health issues in the light. Put the people you care about in the light. What does that mean? It means that you are expanding this field to include their field for the highest good of all concerned, and honoring their own free will that they may or may not accept that expansion and that connection. You're offering it. You can't force anyone to change. If someone you care about has bad habits, you can't make them stop their bad habits until they're ready to. But you can send them loving energy, which gives them something to reach for in the middle of their hell. And of course, if there's any planetary requests, put that out right now. We'll be doing it as a group in a few minutes. Right now, if you have any special things, say them silently. You know, our sources say they're telepathic. They say they can read our thoughts. And they don't violate your privacy, so you have to invite them in. So you can just imagine that they're reading your thoughts right now, and they're hearing your requests. And I'm going to call in the light, and then I'm going to turn it over to Terry, who is going to have a message to us from our sources. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to turn this over to Terry to bring through a message from what explains itself to be a conglomerate of two group souls, their pure energies, and that when we feel this energy, it's partially because we are co-creating, connecting, with them as they project into the Earth realm space.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Fra On, December 2nd, 2012. And we look over the earth and we see the different cultures and we see each and every person who wishes to be connected with on this call or on the radio or to listen to a replay later or to read a transcript. And we take a moment and we see your issues. And we provide a supporting frequency that is beyond the Earth frequency, that is higher than the Earth frequency, and that extends the range of frequencies available to you to very much higher into the heavenly realms. This frequency is very high, and it is above, and language fails us here. It is, this frequency is senior to the problems, the issues, the things that you have put into the light, the things that you desire in your heart of hearts to manifest for you and for the ones that you love. We recognize free will and that each one is the captain of their soul and is the director of their own direction. So that if another is directing themselves in a divergent pattern, that this is something that they need to work through and to grow and to learn what to do and how to handle this aspect of their life. Some people take many lifetimes to be able to get a handle on something, particularly if there's been something adverse that has come to them. And over lifetimes, they are still trying to handle and to work with that. We take a moment and we see you having available these frequencies. The thing that these frequencies being available to you can do for you is to help you move from being affected by adverse frequencies, adverse situations, adverse health situations, to moving to a senior position to them so that you know that you are more than those situations. You have the ability, even though those situations are existing, you have the ability to become senior, to outrank those situations, to become more, higher, over, in control of those situations and not have them being in control of you and to move them from being in your own view, senior to you, to move yourself to being senior to those situations. From a point of seniority to those situations that has not yet manifested yet, but you yourself, seeing yourself as senior, can begin to have some control over changing those circumstances and those manifestations into something that you desire, that you can control, that you can add to your life from a position of having it under control within your own radar screen, the ability to affect the situation from wherever you are, but affect it from a senior point so that you become the cause over it and not the effect of it. Thank you. Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
No, wait a second. Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I'm on the meter. Hopefully, my volume will continue to be okay. Call. And thank you all for going on.
It's very poor, your sound quality.
My sound quality is very poor?
Now it's all of a sudden better.
Okay, wait. How about now? Is that better?
Yes. Good, yes.
Okay, let me know if I drop out, okay?
Okay, thanks.
This whole thing we do is a seat of the pants operation. And sometimes people write us as if we're a huge conglomerate that has endless resources and call your engineer, and that's not the way it's working. And it is, we put it together with, how would I say it, sticky tape, scotch tape, whatever, and it's working. It is working, but unfortunately, sometimes where it could be more professional, it isn't. So thank you all for your patience in understanding with that. And if you're one of those people that wishes we were more professional, keep donating money, because then we can afford to buy things that would help. To get a landline, we don't have a landline. We operate just on cell phone. You know, we just are on a tight budget to make things work, to get it to the place where it is. Okay? So in any case, I saw that a bunch of people had put things in the light since we started the call. Just And we have Michael in Boulder Creek and his shoulder, and Joan in Canada. Her son's degenerating spinal disc, and Olga sends a light to her son, David. Now remember, when we do this, if you're on this list, please take time during the week and duplicate the energy and keep reiterating the request, because we're not supposed to do this for you. We're doing it with you. And if you're giving up your power and thinking everything's going to happen, well, I hope it does. I wished it happened that way. But most often, it doesn't. Kathleen and
in Denver. Ask for healing for George Norrie. That's a good idea. Those of you that listen to George Norrie know that his mouth got burned by hot pizza wrap in his microwave, and he was off for 2 days. Let's take our combined energies, and we're going to do a planetary healing right now. And we say this, that each of you has more power in your intention than you might have ever given yourself credit for. And part of this call is to learn how to work that power. And this is loving power. This is not bossy power. This is power to be bigger than you are and to realize that for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will, you're voting every single moment of the day. You are voting. You are casting a vote into the universe. And what is your vote? Is your vote fear? Is your vote contraction? Is your vote control of other people? Then you are not just feeling that yourself. That is going into the entire universe, and you're changing the universe by your vote. Are you voting for love? Are you voting for harmony? Are you voting for a planet that is shifting and many people will go through this shift and you're going to be part of it and you're going to be uplifting your neighborhood and your family and you're not about believing in anything by the radiance of your heart. You have the power to radiate energy in your space. And when you do, many people will feel it and move into an uplifted space. Did you ever be around somebody that when you were around them, it made you feel secure, that everything was all right, nothing was going wrong, and just by being around them, you felt that? That's your job now. You've got to learn how to hold that space for those people around you. And for yourself. So we're going to see ourselves creating this group energy. Just by saying it, it happens. And wherever we are on planet Earth, and I should say, not only wherever, but whenever, whenever you listen to this, you're tapping into what some people call the field. And could you imagine that this whole universe is a big mocked-up illusion? And it's got smaller and smaller pieces. And as you get to the very most smallest building block of the universe, all those building blocks are connected. They're connected. And that as we move in to this space of oneness, we're connected. Some people call it the Christ consciousness. Doesn't matter what you call it. Some people call it the field. But that field is blowing through you, and it's blowing through everyone else on this line in such a way that we are outside
of the universe at this moment. We are in the field, and we can feel each other in the field. We can send energy to each other in the field. Can you feel that field? The universe starts from this field. It grows from it. It gets more concentrated. The field is very thin and transparent, like steam. And the universe is very rigid, the physical universe, like rock. But it all starts from this field. And the field gets more concentrated and more concentrated and more concentrated until we have a physical universe, until you have a body. Let's now be very small and be in that field at its most thinnest place, thinnest density. You know, the Ra group talks about the different dimensions as being different densities, and the Earth physical universe, 3D, is the most dense. Well, our bodies are still going to be here, but right at this moment, we are in the field where it's in between everything. Nothing can resist it because it's so refined. And we can flow from this field into the greater universe. And we are existing at the point prior to the physicalization. See, it all exists simultaneously. All the dimensions exist simultaneously. And right now, we are prior to the formation of physicalness. So we are working in this space with our sources, who are always here. So what do we want to create? Let's see this field moving and penetrating the earth. Let's see us moving. And we're going to look at this differently. We always do those earthquake areas, right? We're going to do them. We're going to do them from, instead of being very big and projecting down, we're going to be very small and project through. We see our field moving through the earth, moving through the fault lines. You know, we always do the ring of fire, so we'll start in South America. And we're underground. And we're moving under the surface of the earth. And we're moving into those areas of earthquake faults. where the Teutonic plates are abrasive. And we blow our energy right through the molecules, right through the atoms of the Teutonic plates for the highest good of all concerned. We start at the tip of South America, and we're moving through the ground. And we'll let our sources guide us to those plates and surround them. I don't know if you guys have read the news, but they said that in California, there's been a lot of little earthquakes. When I asked Terry the question, they said, the work we're doing is helping. So we're moving up South America, into Central America, into Mexico. We're going on the western coast, into Southern California and San Diego, and up through Long Beach, Orange County, finally Los Angeles. And we're spreading this energy underneath Los Angeles and into all those fault lines underneath LA. And we're just sending loving, gentle energy to them. And we mean Los Angeles, we mean all the environs of Los Angeles, Long Beach, the San Fernando Valley, the Pomona Valley. And we move up from LA through Malibu, through the western coastline of California, through San Francisco, through Oregon, through Washington, through Vancouver, up the coast of Canada, over to Alaska, across the southern coast of Alaska, down the eastern coast of the Soviet Union, Russia now, no longer Soviet Union, and down through Indonesia, the Philippines, Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan. While we're here, take our microscopic, submicroscopic energy building block, and we go to Fukushima. And we go through the radiation and we disperse it and release it right now. We surround Fukushima reactor number 4 with protection. While we're thinking of reactors, let's send this energy to every reactor on the planet for safety. And then we go to Japan, the whole country, and Australia, New Zealand, and Hawaii, and all the islands in the Pacific right now. And we moved to St. Louis. And in this particular healing exercise, we are underground. We are in the spaces. We're not descending on the physical realm. We are the physical realm. We are in the spaces of the physical realm at the proto level, projecting recreation, starting at a proto level, manifesting into the physical. We go to the Mid-Atlantic Fault. We go to Canary Islands, and we go to any place in the world. We're just emanating from the center and ask for it to be balanced. We're doing it as a group team for the highest good of all concerned, for honoring free will. We're doing it with the support of our sources for as much as they want to give it. And we go to all those areas where there are conglomerates of intentions of the negative that would be designed to overwhelm free will, that would be designed to not care about the highest good. And we can't change those. We can only add new possibilities. We send our energy surrounding this entire project of what we call service to self. To obstruct all those things which would be in violation of free will. We join with all those other beings on the planet, all those light workers, indigo children, who are have the power to do this, and that we ask for the highest good, that their high selves, they can join with us. We ask for the protection of the collective consciousness of humanity from fear. Fear is the biggest tool the negative has of disabling us, because fear would prevent people from projecting their intentions into higher realms to recreate this realm. Fear causes people to contract. Those of you that listened to the very first message through Daphne that came through on a conference call, if you remember, the Elohim used the word infinitesimal beauty of your souls. And I wondered what that meant. Now I do. We're doing it now. The microcosm matches the macrocosm. And we are moving in the microcosm. We are moving in that infinitesimal space that occurs before things manifest, where it goes through a huge bunch of levels before it becomes your physical body or your city or your family. So let's infinitesimal place and ask for the things you want for yourself, for the highest good, and honoring free will, ask for it. And flow through the universe so the universe gets your message and that things reorient so that the things you need are attracted to you. The health you need, the cells readjust because you're healing them right from the point prior to their creation. And let's move this energy up through the Middle East, from the ground, up surrounding everything, and ask that it finds those people that are wanting peace, wanting to love their neighbor, that heals this rift, this ancient rift between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We send this energy to all those souls that have been, the people that have been killed by the U.S. attacking various countries and killing lots of civilians. You know, it's 12:54. It's almost time to end. And I wanted to mention that I said this in the email today. If you're listening to this, and if you put one of our odds and ends emails into your spam folder, it automatically blacklists you from our entire list. That's not something that's my choice. That's the way our email sender says it. And there were probably 50 or 60 people that did that because they didn't recognize, that was my mistake, they didn't recognize the email. So if you happen to be listening to this and you are not getting emails from us, please email me, respond to one of the previous emails, and we'll try to get it rectified. Because I don't even believe you can subscribe back again. And there's a couple of you, we're trying to keep everything patched together, and occasionally somebody has a problem, they weren't getting emails and they don't know why. And you know, if we were a big corporation, we would say, could you guys fix this? They're not getting emails. But most often at this point, it's me or Terry that has to fix it. And our time is so scrunched up. So if you're one of those people, please email me, and I'll do my best. And if I don't do anything, email me again. And I'd also like to mention that our Spirit Channel page has been getting a whole bunch of views, which means people are using it. And this is a really, let me tell you how many, we've got it's only been up for a short period. We've only been announcing it a short time. And we have about almost over 6,300 hits. And I know I'm getting emails from people
that are, you know, what's on there is like all a history of not all, but most of our channelings and many transcripts for the past 2 or 3 years. And just by listening to them over and over again, which people are telling me it's working, it's helping support keeping their energy above all the stuff that's going on in the physical realm, like listening it on the way to work. Don't listen to a Sunday grid healing on the way to work or while you're driving because it's too spaced out. But listening to the other calls helps keep the energy up. It's better than watching television, and it's totally free. It's a whole history of this kind of energy that you can access and listen to anytime you want. And you'll notice that there's a lot of areas where we need transcripts and we don't have them. And if you are one of those people who can do transcripts, we have a whole procedure at, where, send me an email, because at different times we weren't putting this together, but now it's important. Why is it important? Because so many people are paying attention to those pages, and the transcripts for some people are more accessible than other stuff, the audios. And if you happen to be highly literary, in other words, if you're able to edit transcripts, that would be really great, because what happens is the transcripts go through a process where somebody transcribes them, someone scrutinizes them and edits them. Terry then does a final go through, and then it gets put up. And it has to happen fast. Doesn't have to, but it's best if it happens fast. And on our current calls, they get up quickly, and on past calls, there's such useful stuff all in here that if you would like to do that, please email me, and I will get back with you. I haven't in the past, but I will, or someone will, and we'll organize that whole effort. And, you know, there's a benefit in doing these things, because when you're transcribing, you are really connecting deeply with the words that are being said. And some of you have noticed that there's a lot of really profound things that come up on these calls. And when you listen to it a second time and a third time, it gets deeper and deeper. You understand more. So transcribing is a way to do that. It's a way to tap into the energy of being supportive of people, that when you do a transcription or anything, you know, there's the kinds of things that you get lots of rewards for, like, wow, Wynn, what a great talk you gave, or whatever. And oftentimes you don't get rewards for the most important things you do. You don't get rewards from other humans, because they may not even know you're doing it. But you get rewards from your high self and from spirit for truly doing things of service without worrying about the rewards. So if that fits you, I hope you'll think about it. Now it's 1 o'clock. I hope we're still on VBS. I should have cut off 3 minutes ago. Thank you all for being here. And we'll see you tomorrow. We may have Carla Ruckert on tomorrow. I'll see how if she's available. Everyone's unmuted. And
read your emails, Wynn. I sent you a couple about the song.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.